This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
All right, Packer has chronicled the best and the worst of the weekend. That's the way we start hour two on Mondays.
Why do you say I have done that?
Because you do 90% of the list.
Oh, okay. Well, it's our show.
I know it's our show, but you do an excellent job of chronicling the best and worst of the weekends.
Okay.
We have, I'll help occasionally. Drew and Josh will help. It's a team effort, Pack.
That's what I just
said. It's a big team, little me. I got you. Like Bill Lewis in 94.
Is there echo in here?
Yeah. All right, here we go. Clemson wins its third national championship in men's soccer. Congratulations to Mike Noonan and the Tigers. They beat Washington 2-0. Tell you what a beautiful, crisp day they had for this, huh?
Almost 8,000 in attendance. People going nuts. It took about 25 seconds to see a goal.
Yeah.
None of these penalty kicks for this one. We're going to have some people scoring. And party time in Tiger Town. Look at these guys, man. Good for them.
You're kind of game, right? Got some points on the
score
board early.
A unique concept in soccer. Let's score. How about that?
Score it up. See Loved what it. Happens. That's it.
So I'm happy for Coach. He's done a tremendous job down there. And three national titles, big picture. ACC dominates in soccer again. Men, women, national titles. Again, the Phillips factor. It's all about hardware, Wes. All about the hardware.
Dr. I.M. Ibrahim, back in the day.
I told you about hitting golf balls out there in the soccer field.
That didn't go well, did it?
He yelled at me. And we, and the golf team back then when I was in school,
like
we were hitting off like dirt.
You had no place to practice.
No, we didn't. But the soccer guys had like this lush Bermuda crisscross, looked like Augusta National. And we're out there hitting balls, mats, and you look like Top Golf for, hoodlums. And so I was hitting balls out into the soccer field.
Was Obed Ariri mad at you?
No, he wasn't, but I.M. Ibrahim was, and he comes out there. He used to drive a Jaguar.
Ibrahim drove a Jaguar?
He did at the time, and he's screaming at me. You get off, you get this off, and he's just yelling at me. And I'm like, hey, man, I'm hitting
What do you mean? I'm hitting a Spalding top flight here, Dr. Ibrahim.
I'm trying to hit
Ibrahim.
Cut shots out there on the hitting man, a, just screaming. And
is that you and Dillard Pruitt?
Well, Dillard, Dillard could really play.
I mean, out there on the soccer field hitting practice balls?
No, Dillard could go over there and say, Pack, let's go hit, seven irons. And like he'd go hit his range balls and hit seven irons. And they'd all be like within the side of this table. I mean, he'd go pick them up and they're all
He wouldn't make divots either, would he?
No, he was pure.
Yeah. Dillard. You, on the other hand.
I'm hitting it all over the place.
You were backhoeing it.
I was hoping I didn't kill anybody. But, I mean, that green grass out there looked nice.
Pretty good.
So, soccer champions.
Congratulations to the Clemson Tigers on a national championship yesterday at the Wake Soccer
I didn't tell you about aiming at Coach's car, though. My driver, did I?
No.
Amazing how accurate I got all of a sudden.
Did you hit the Jag?
Tried,
yeah. Two ACC teams are heading to the Volleyball Final Four in Columbus, Ohio.
Yep.
Louisville, the number one overall seed, defeated Georgia Tech 3-1. Really good, competitive, strong match. And then Louisville beat Pittsburgh 3-1. And the Panthers are also headed to Columbus. So two of the four for the NCAA Volleyball Final Four in Columbus from the Atlantic Coast Conference.
And I'll emphasize again, they're on the opposite sides of the bracket. You could very well have Louisville, Pittsburgh for the national championship. That could happen.
Yep. Serena Gray from Coach Fisher's Pittsburgh team will be here at 9:30 this morning.
Yep.
Looking forward to talking to her. Alondis Williams records the second triple-double in Wake Forest history. 16 points, 14 rebounds, 10 assists. There's Jake LaRavie on the back end for the dunk against the Fighting USC Upstate. The other day at the Joel Coliseum, Tim Duncan had the other one against Maryland in 1996. Alondis Williams missed by a rebound earlier this season and an assist in another game. It was just a matter of time, I think, before this one happened.
Deeks are off to a good start. You could make the case that right now in the Atlantic Coast Conference men's basketball, that Tobacco Road could be 1, 2, 3, 4.
Could. Had NC State beaten Purdue yesterday, but you could have said it with a little more conviction, perhaps.
Right. I mean, I'm still buying Virginia Tech, and I don't know what's up with Syracuse, and Louisville is kind of weird.
Right.
But right now, I mean, December 13th, Duke, really good. Yeah. North Carolina, absolutely on the right track. Wake, playing great. NC State gave you a sign for 30 minutes yesterday that they were better than the number one team in the country.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Louisville's women have five straight wins in basketball over Kentucky.
Yep.
64-58, the final yesterday at the Yum Center.
Jeff Falls gets a bump from the Packer and Durham appearance, takes it on the weekend, takes care of business. And like you said, Wes, I like the red and the blue, and these two get together. It's nice.
Yeah, it is.
Great crowd. There's Chester's girl, Haley Van Lith, taking care of business.
Cards beat the Cats. Congratulations to Coach Walls and Louisville. Tough weekend for Kentucky. Think about all the great Notre Dame wins over, like, ranked teams, right? I mean, like Orlando Woolridge's fadeaway at the Rosemont Horizon to beat Virginia.
Beating UCLA.
UCLA to snap the win streak with Dwight Clay, John Shumate. Even think about, like, you know, games when David Rivers was back in the day playing, they'd win big ones.
We've been waiting on the Irish, though. They've really gotten off to a sluggish start.
I agree. Here's the thing Malcolm Huckabee and I were talking about looking at this box score. If you'd have told me that Nate Leschetsky and Prentice Hubb would combine for 9 and that Notre Dame would win, I'd have given you all my money.
Well, that's not a whole lot. I mean, how much you walking away? How what do you got in your pocket
bucks,
right now?
About 20 bucks.
Yeah, there you go.
So, but what I'm saying is, if you told me they were going to have 9 points combined and Notre Dame was going to win, I'd have said you're crazy. Leschetsky and Hubb would have had to have big days. That has to be, in some respect, an encouraging point for Mike Bray to see the other guys lift this team. Because you know this, a lot expected out of Hubb, a lot expected out of Leschetsky. Those guys struggle a little bit. Notre Dame still finds a way good for them.
Great win. And, of course, they beat Kentucky last year. Maybe this is the catalyst to get the Irish jump-started to have a pretty good year. I expected them to be good. They're an older team. Normally, old Mike Bray teams are good ones.
Yeah. Duke finds their new football coach. 44-year-old Mike Elko is coming to Durham as the Blue Devils' new head man. He'll be with us here at the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to catching up with Coach Elko and finding out about the last 48 hours or so. So excited to see Mike Elko's arrival. Of course, a longtime aide with Dave Clawson. Been at Notre Dame. He left Wake Forest to go to Notre Dame, and then after 1 year at Notre Dame, went to Texas A&M and joined Jimbo Fisher. Be curious to know what those experiences, after leaving Clawson and going to the taking next steps at Notre Dame and A&M, what that's been like for Coach Elko.
Plus, we'll find out his walk-up music, too. We'll add that to our list.
Yeah. Same at Virginia with Tony Elliott. The Clemson offensive coordinator is the new head football coach of the Cavaliers. He joins us tomorrow at 7:30. Excited for Tony Elliott. Feels like a great fit for Carla Williams, their athletics director, and to kind of keep some of that Bronco Mendenhall continuity built, Tupac, from what they were doing offensively, because you know Tony will be varied in what his approach is. But with both guys, the other coordinator is going to be a really interesting hire. Who does Tony Elliott select on defense? Who does Mike Elko select on offense?
Yeah, we'll get into that with both these guys coming up here in the bottom.
So there you go. Steve Forbes appeared on this show last week and kind of set ACC Twitter on fire with the Cousin Eddie winter hat. Okay? Now, I got some late intel yesterday. I got to tell you, 400 of those jokers were gone. 75 minutes before the game started, they were gone, Pack. How about that?
I like them. I like the Christmas lights. That's a good touch,
that
too.
That guy's crazy.
He's crazy good right now.
Is. Sure
Deeks
is.
Deeks are balling.
Apparently, we got two of those 400. We'll see.
Oh, is that right?
Apparently, we'll see. I don't know.
When are you going to Winston-Salem next?
Today.
Well, I'm looking forward to you
swing by
back
and picking them up for you. Is that what you like?
That's right. Because
you want me to go by and...
You were bragging about this last hour that people were now like, every time you go on the road, you got to bring something back for me. So there you go. That's perfect.
You have an expectation tomorrow that I'll walk in here with Dewey's?
Well, now that you bring it up, I wasn't going to say anything, but I'm glad you brought it up. Yeah. If you're going to go up there, you might as well come back with something. I got some sugar cake upstairs.
Oh, you're good then. I don't need to stop.
That's today.
Oh.
Not tomorrow. I'll be gone.
All right. Let's go. Wes Moore, the Wolfpack women's basketball head coach, captured his 200th victory over the weekend with a 101-73 layup.
Tell you what, there
over
was
St. Mary's.
There was a stretch yesterday. Maryland and South Carolina were having a women's game down in Columbia. And they looked like for a while there could be a situation where NC State today could have been the number one team in the country.
Wow.
So, but this is a really good team and a really good program.
Yep.
And Westmore's got it going on. That NC State-Louisville thing later this year is going to be really good.
All right, let's get global here. Clemson's Valerie Cagle struck out 13 and had the game-winning hit for Team USA against Chinese Taipei.
That's it. Team USA, baby. It's all about the red, white, and blue. 1-0, your final score. Game-winning hit. She pitches all seven innings. I told you, she's a star. This girl right here is a superstar. And doing it for America.
Yeah. You're kind to put this on Best of the Weekend, by the way. Not Valerie Cagle, this next one. You didn't have to do this. I appreciate this. Saturday night.
You don't think that was worthy of putting on the Best of the Weekend?
Valerie Cagle?
Yeah.
No, I think that was. I'm talking about the next one.
Oh, okay.
The next one you were kind to put on. And that's TD and I doing the same game Saturday night.
It was on my list. The Durham boys broadcasting in Chapel Hill. Got to be on the Best of the
Weekend. That. Very kind of you. We had a good time. 80-63, the final.
I like everything about this. In fact, that shot right there, that picture right there on the air, you need to get a picture of that framed somehow. That looked good in the house right there. I mean, that's cool.
That's fun.
I mean, think about that. Woody, you, Taylor. That's what it's all about, man.
Best golfers on the left, by the way, by a long shot.
That's all fine and good. But, yeah. I mean, that's family right there. It doesn't get any
Mom came to the game. Pack still wearing lemon bars, bourbon bars.
Those bourbon bars are killer, too. Miss Jean is sitting on a gold mine, doesn't even know it. You know, there's one other thing I could throw on this list.
What's that?
And I'm going to mention it
okay.
just because I don't want them getting mad at
All
me.
All right, go ahead.
The Virginia Tech men's rugby team won the D1AA national championship.
Really?
Yep. And I wasn't sure.
What do you know about the rugby game, Pat?
I know you drink a lot afterwards. I got my rugby buddies. I said, Packy, you come out with us. I said, man, I ain't getting involved in no rugby. Are you kidding me?
Serious?
Not to play. I said,
are you serious?
Swear to God.
That's all you know?
The drink afterwards.
Okay. Good.
Already.
All right.
I mean,
anything else you need to add?
Now, what else do I need to add?
I don't know.
What else do you want? Then maybe some Dewey sugar cake.
Oh, gosh. Really?
Virginia Tech, national champions.
All right.
Men's rugby.
Congratulations.
I'm going to give them a little shout out.
Yeah, there's the little one right there.
And I don't want anybody sending me a text about, Pack, the our recreational
Did somebody
team,
send you a tweet telling you about
golf team won the AAA. Don't send me that stuff. But the Hokies got the belt. Again, Phillips factor.
The rugby.
Hey, what do I always tell you? If you got it, flaunt it.
But wait. You said the Phillips factor. I'm not even sure we recognize rugby as
we
a conference sport.
Don't, but I'm giving the.
I'm going to say we don't recognize rugby.
That's fine, but I'm still going to give DeMann credit.
Okay.
Because since he showed up, all of a sudden national champions. That's the first.
Well, time we do have Jerry York on from ice hockey, and ice hockey is technically not a conference sport.
That's right.
So there you go.
That's right. And I believe, and Hokie Nation can correct me on this, since we're in Blacksburg, compared to that ESPN affiliate.
Yes, we are.
I do not believe Virginia Tech had won a national championship in any sport ever.
Of any kind, you mean?
Since dirt.
NCAA or elsewise?
Since dirt.
Okay.
So I'm giving out the Hokies some love today.
Man, we covered a lot there.
Well, I mean, that's what, you know, I was busy this weekend, but I'm trying to put together something for us.
All right. When we come back, the best of the weekend, clearly, we change spectrums. Yeah. The worst of the weekend. Oh, no.
Stop the man with the ball. Hello, anybody playing defense out there. You can't allow that to happen.
Oh, back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. Telling Wes stories, war stories from the weekend.
Oh, it's a wonder you made it back to the basement.
I didn't know doubt I was going to make it back to the basement.
No, I think there was doubt.
Tell you what.
What?
The contacts I made with the Navy.
Oh, is that right? Feeling a little more patriotic here, are you?
I'm always patriotic. I love the USA.
But do you feel like you're more invested in the intelligence of the naval community?
I think the word intelligence is loosely used there. I think, though, the contacts I made with the U.S. Navy over the weekend may help us when we do our show on the boat on May
13th. Stop it. Come on. Stop. No, stop. Let's move on. Worst of the weekend.
You're worried about that show.
I'm not worried about that show.
I'm just saying.
I'm not worried about that show at all.
Would it be cool, though, if a submarine just showed up?
There's no chance a submarine's going to be in Lake Hartwell. You've lost your mind.
I don't think the Intrepid's going to fit on Lake Hartwell.
All right. Worst of the weekend. And unfortunately, we kick off this with basketball.
Yeah, there was
because there were a couple games that the ACC kind of had like right there. Palm of the hand. And poof.
Yeah, this was a – I was not happy about this list.
No, you get a little – the group text gets – I can tell you're not really thrilled at all. Let's go to Rock Hill.
I was sending a bunch of messages out while you were doing the Falcons game.
Let's go to Rock Hill,
yesterday.
South Carolina. Yep, you guys were in full lather when Florida State blew the halftime lead against South Carolina for their third straight loss. I've never been in the facility down in Rock Hill, but I'm going to tell you guys, it looks nice. I tell you what also looks nice, too. South Carolina old school Frank McGuire, Casey Manning, John Roach jerseys. I'm a fan. Give the Gamecocks a little credit. I like those.
I do, too. We are both in the same neighborhood with that, the old school stuff. But
Tom Owens,
three straight L's. They had no business losing that game yesterday.
Yeah, we got to get some teams better there. Yeah. NC State. This is the kind of game right here. Ugh. As much as I mean, when this gets around to March now, and we're talking about a small group compared to a large group, remember these games right here. Like this one. This one right here is you've got a chance to beat Purdue, and you can't get it to the house. And unfortunately, Mark, we've had about five or six of these in this league.
We've had more than that, Wes. Oh. The non-conference slate, and I'm going to be completely honest here, the league has not been good. Has not. And, I mean, I can give you Duke, knocking off Gonzaga,
sure,
which was a great run, but we're not talking about Duke. Duke's locked and loaded as the best team right now until proven otherwise in this conference. But, man, what a golden opportunity, though, for NC State yesterday. You're up 13 and playing well. I mean,
yep.
Purdue was totally out of sync. NC State's defense turning people over. And you're thinking, man, they got a chance to blow these dudes right out of the water in Brooklyn. And all of a sudden, it went from 13 to single digits, and it got down to 4, and it got down to 2, and now it's in overtime.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah, here we go. And Purdue just dumped them in OT. But they started making shots, unfortunately. But for Kevin Keats, I still think this team has a chance.
Oh, I do too.
Right? I mean, man, that would have been a humongous confidence builder.
Because Purdue's going to be a factor.
Purdue is a
They're not going anywhere.
No, they are legit.
Yeah.
And so that was a tough loss for the Wolfpack, where it was just looking like, hey, it was going to be their day for most of the day.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
All right. Miami suffered a basketball injury, and the reason we're bringing this up, Rodney Miller is going to miss up to a month with a groin injury sustained yesterday, and the reason we bring it up is because they had been avoiding this very thing as Jim Larrañaga's season got underway. And it's the first time in about 4 or 5 years that Miami had their full accompaniment of players. But he injured against Lipscomb, and so they were able to win yesterday against the Rams of Fordham in Brooklyn, but Rodney Miller, the big man, out of the lineup for about a month. That's frustrating.
Yep. Got to get healthy for once. Miami kind of deserves a year without any injuries.
Let's move on to the rest of the weekend. Georgia Tech had the lead on LSU at the Holiday Hoops Giving in Atlanta and then got outscored 39-19 second half.
Yep.
Tigers got to running, and tell you what, when LSU's in transition, they're as good as it gets.
Well, according to that, they're the second best team in the country.
That's the
I haven't
thing.
Looked lately, but that's where they were last week. But Georgia Tech, second half, nowhere to be found.
Right. So, Jackets fall to LSU at State Farm Arena. Pittsburgh fell last night to Monmouth. The former Carolina guard, King Rice, and those guys led early. They were double figures, up, what, 14, 16 at one point, second half?
They blew them out in the first half.
Yeah.
This was a comeback from the get-go for Pitt.
Yep. So, end of the day, Monmouth gets a win. Pittsburgh falls to 3-7 on the year. Olivia Cochran called for a technical foul for celebrating a block in the Louisville-Kentucky game. Oh, we get a little taunting there. Is that what happened there?
I guess.
That's not, I'm not sure.
Who knows? Okay. I mean, that's above my pay grade.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
All I know is it's scoreboard. Louisville just won again.
Yeah. She's trying to talk to the official, get a little explanation. Maybe some more coming from Coach Walls. Mm. There you go. All right. Short list, thank goodness.
Yeah, I like to emphasize the best as opposed to the worst.
You did a good job.
Do the best I can.
We'll step aside. Because when we come back, off to Durham we'll go. Officially announced at 11 a.m. here on ACC Network. Live with us coming up in a few minutes, Mike Elko, the new head football coach of the Duke Blue Devils. We'll talk to a familiar face in the ACC next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday morning. There are going to be some new faces on this show.
Starting now.
Starting in about 20 seconds that you need to know.
Yeah.
Get to know them.
Not these
because
two.
Because they're going to be around for a while.
Yeah.
And we mentioned both Duke and Virginia have new football coaches. And Mike Elko now joins us, Wes, from Durham. You'll hear the press conference live today, by the way, at 11 a.m. here on ACC Network. Coach, first of all, congratulations. I know it's a crazy time of the year, but welcome back to the ACC.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be back. Great football, great conference. Glad to be back on the East Coast. This is my roots, and just really looking forward to getting started and getting to work.
Mike, you have had several opportunities to do this. What was it about Duke? What was it about what Nina was presenting as her vision that intrigued you about this opportunity?
Yeah, I think obviously Duke has always stood for excellence. And I think the vision Nina has for where the football program now needs to sit with that, she was able to convince me that now is the time that football needs to align with everything that Duke has stood for years. And I bought into that vision, got really excited behind her and really looking forward to work with her moving forward.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because I thought for sure you're going to say, you know what, I just can only eat but so much chicken fried steak. I got to get back and have some barbecue here in Carolina.
No doubt. Now I can't get into barbecue debates between Texas and North Carolina. You guys are going to get me in a lot of trouble really quick. I still got a house back in Texas I got to worry about.
No, I get that. By the way, with National Signing Day, there's never a perfect time when it comes to a transition and so forth. So, Mike, how is that going to work? From a National Signing Day perspective and trying to put together a staff, and I mean, you got to be juggling like 15 balls in the air right now.
Yeah, so our primary goal right now, we've got a great class committed. We're trying to make sure that group stays together. I've got a chance to visit with a lot of those people. Zoom has been a tremendous invention to help with that. But that's our primary goal. Our primary goal is to get to Wednesday and make sure we get this class that has stayed committed to Duke signed and inked and ready to roll. You know, and then from there, you kind of start progressing into the next parts, which is building the staff, building the infrastructure, making sure we start to implement the vision into this program that we want. But, you know, with signing day so close and being hired so close to signing day, you know, that's the A1 focus right now. I got to make sure that this class stays together and that we keep it together till Wednesday.
Mike, there was a lot written in the last 48 hours about, obviously, your affiliation with Dave Clawson at Wake Forest. Not just at Wake Forest, but at other stops along his journey. Did you talk to Dave at any point as you were kind of making this decision about coming to the ACC? I mean, you had played Duke when you were at Wake Forest. I know you're familiar with the program. But you had seen kind of this environment at similar levels with him. And I'm just curious about that conversation, if there was one.
Yeah, I mean, Dave's been a tremendous mentor to me. He's one of the few people in this profession that I call a dear friend. And so obviously I spoke with him and you know, got his advice on the whole situation. But, you know, the reality of it is now we get to compete against each other, you know. Sure. And so for so many years we worked together, you know, played a huge part together in building a lot of programs, you know, and now it'll just be an exciting time to kind of be across the state and competing with them at very similar minded institutions.
Oh, okay, that was the next follow-up here. The similarities between the two, the similarities at the smaller campuses you've worked on, the smaller enrolled campuses. Yeah. Is there a lot of symmetry there between what you see at Duke and what you went through at Wake or Richmond, places like that?
Yeah, I think my background in a lot of ways has prepared me for this. I think playing at Penn and understanding how academics and athletics balances each other. I wasn't nearly the athlete that these kids are that we're recruiting to Duke. Hopefully we're doing a lot better than me. But, you know, that started it all. And then working at schools like Richmond, working at schools like Wake Forest, working at a school like Notre Dame where, you know, you're not sacrificing anything in the classroom. You're not sacrificing anything for what these kids are looking for in their future to ultimately get this program where you want it to go. And, you know, we've got to find tremendous balance. We've got to find kids that want to be excellent in every part of their life. And there's a lot of them out there. There really are. There's a lot of kids out there that want to be great in the classroom, want to be great in the community, and want to win championships on the football field. And the Duke brand reaches coast to coast, you know, and that's probably the biggest thing about this program that excites me is I know I can go into any living room from the East Coast to the West Coast and anywhere in between, and people recognize Duke and they recognize what it stands for.
Coach, I can only imagine being Dave Clawson and going, by the way, Mike Elko on line two, you're going, hey, wait a minute, I'm getting ready to play this guy in a bowl game. What do you want to talk to me about?
It's
going to be kind of a crazy conversation.
No, so we joked that was the benefit was we didn't have to face head-to-head in the bowl game in January. And then, you know, the negative is we're going to be battling each other head-to-head every day for the next, you know, however many years.
You know, the other thing, too, about this conference, again, I know, you know, diagramming defenses for the Southeastern Conference is a fantastic league. Football is a priority. You jump into this ACC world, and we've been talking about this really for about a year and a half. Mm. The quarterbacks in this league, Mike, are really talented. And I'm sure as a defensive eye, you keep an eye on that stuff. And it's an incredible challenge each and every week in this league.
Yeah, I mean, just go back to when I first came in the league. You know, when I first came in the league, you had Deshaun Watson, you had Jameis Winston, you had Lamar Jackson, you had Daniel Jones throwing the ball around over here at Duke. Yeah, this league has always had tremendous quarterbacks, and that presents a challenge to a defensive coordinator. You know, but we were able to navigate that the first time through the league pretty well, you know, and I believe we can do it again here at Duke.
All right, so once you clear Wednesday, is that kind of when then the infrastructure and the details of your program kick into full gear? Because right now it's got to be about getting this thing to the house, right?
Yeah, we got to get to Wednesday. And then the first thing I'm going to do after signing day is just breathe for a quick second. That'll be exciting. And then we got to go to work. And it'll be a process putting the staff together. I've kind of explained this to a lot of the recruits, you know, with everybody playing in bowl games. And obviously nobody's willing to do much between now and signing day. You know, it'll be a process to put this thing together. It won't happen overnight. But by the time our kids get back in January, you know, we'll have this staff up and running. We'll have this program up and running, and we'll have this thing going in the right direction.
Mike, you know, I know Wes touched base with this with the first question, but you knew there was going to be a point in time that, you know what, I'm going to be a head football coach. So I got to figure that, you know, this isn't one of those kind of things that said, hey, tag, you're the head football coach, you do, and you go, oh my gosh, got to put a staff together. This has been an acquisition of years and years of experience, contacts, names, putting something together that, hey, when that opportunity presents itself, I should be able to be good to go, and let's get this thing moving ASAP.
I've been preparing this for a long time. I've been a defensive coordinator for 16 straight years. I've been at the highest levels of college football for the last 8. And so, you know, this has been a dream of mine. This has been something that I've been preparing to do for a long time. And, you know, I think I'm very ready for this opportunity. And, you know, just going to take time to get this thing up and running the way we want it to. It's just not something that happens with a snap of a finger.
Mike, given what happened in college sports the last couple weeks, where we've seen guys like Lincoln Riley, incredibly successful, go, hey, catch you later, I'm out of here. Brian Kelly, Notre Dame, catch you later, I'm going to LSU. Yeah. Did you get a sense that, hey, time is of the essence? Or because it just seems like this has been a very strange year as far as the transition table of coaches. Normally you see the transfer portal of players left and right. But, man, yeah. I don't remember a time ever with coaches, athletic directors, that we have seen this kind of mass movement at high-profile schools. I mean, did that ever dawn on you during this last couple of weeks that, hey, the time is now. Let's go do this.
No, honestly, I think it was probably the other way. I think it was probably what was appealing about Duke, because I think this is a place where there's a lot more continuity and consistency in what we can do. It's not what anybody's looking to be in this profession for. I don't think you're looking to jump, to fly from place to place, to move your family from place to place. And I think when you look at this university, I think this is a place where you can really build roots and you can build this thing from the ground up and put your handprints all over it and build this brand the way we want it to be. And that was probably actually worked the opposite in that it maybe enticed me a little bit more to a place where you can really go and build a solid foundation with a solid group of kids in your program.
And here's the other part, and you mentioned this in relationship to you and Dave Clawson now meeting on an annual basis, which, by the way, will be must-see television, by the way, just simply because of the history. But you also have a firsthand knowledge, working knowledge, of David Cutcliffe leaving it better than he found it. I mean, you know that than anybody else.
For sure.
So some of that also plays to your arrival. And I'm curious as to, you know, from afar, now that you went to South Bend and then worked at College Station with Jimbo, the respect of that build and how it factors into your arrival, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no doubt. I have a tremendous amount of respect for what Coach Cut did here. And when we got to the ACC, it was probably 8 years ago, this place had just come off an ACC division title. They were playing in the ACC championship game. They were putting guys in the NFL. They were graduating their players. Yeah. And that really continued. You know, they went to 6 bowls in the 7-year stretch. And that history is recent, and it's not very long ago. You know, and then some things happened in the last couple of years, and for whatever reason, you know, it slides. But you have seen in a very recent period Duke football playing at a very high level, Duke football in the ACC championship game, and there's certainly no reason why we can't get back there very quickly.
Mike, you know, you've been blessed in the sense that you worked at Notre Dame, one of the great football traditions and environments. You go to College Station, A&M, the 12th man, it's awesome, been there multiple times. Now you come to Duke, and I know the object is, hey, go get great players, great student-athletes who can do the work academically, where we can go out there and compete and try to win a championship. But what would you like to incorporate from your days at Notre Dame and A&M that you like to have at Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium, as I call it? What would you like to incorporate?
Yeah, atmosphere. I think we've got to go to Bull City and we've got to make this Durham's team. I think we've got to get the fans from our student section out on the field and make this feel like Cameron Indoor when you put a basketball game on. There's a lot of passion about Duke athletics. We've just got to get that passion to show up in Wallace Wade on Saturdays. And I think, you know, as the product builds and the quality of the product builds, we just got to make sure that we're continuing to build this in roots with Durham and get these people out and make this their team and their program.
That's well said. I can tell you're excited about this, man. You've been trying to scratch this itch for a long time.
yeah. I'm ready to go. I'm so fired up. I think this is the right time. I think Duke is the right place for me and my family. And you know, I just think we can do unbelievable things here. I really do.
Hey, by the way, what's the deal with the? I know, boy, schools must not be happy with balls being flung all over the earth. A lot of defensive guys getting gigs this year, Elko. What's you're trying to stop people? Is that what we're going to do now in college football?
Well, I think people are smart enough now, finally, Wes. They're looking at the playoffs. 3 of the 4 teams in the playoffs are run by defensive-minded head coaches. The best coach in the NFL is a defensive-minded head coach. I think finally maybe some people are starting to wise up to the fact that we got this thing going with the defensive guys, and it's time to get more of us in charge.
I like that. Listen, I'm all for it. You know, like I said, offense sells tickets, defense wins championships. That's never going to be the style from that perspective.
Yeah, and you guys are the ones who keep fueling that with all the offense stuff. So I got to get the media on board that these defensive guys know what they're talking about, too.
Hey, Elko, you keep this up. I'm going to bring that barbecue thing back up. That house will never sell out there at College Station.
Let me tell you. You know the first head coaching lesson you've learned, Elko, is diplomacy.
What?
You stayed away from that barbecue argument like in 10 seconds. You got the hell out of that deal, didn't you?
That was a smart move.
Yeah, you got to be as neutral as you possibly can because you got to appeal to everybody. That's the role of the head coach.
That's exactly right. By the way, we just started this tradition with coaches, and since you're making your debut, first of many, here's what we want to know. And I have no idea which direction you're going to go in here. What would be the Mike Elko walk-up music? What would be the go-to, whether it be the press conference today at 11 a.m. or whether it be first game of the season walking out at Wallace Wade? What would be the Mike Elko walk-up music?
Yeah, you're not going to believe this one, but we're going to go Jay-Z, We Run This Town Tonight.
Wow.
I did not expect that answer.
You did not see that one coming.
No. I thought maybe after 4 years of Texas, you're going to go George Strait or some.
I was thinking of Sleep at the Wheel, Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys or something like that. But no, we got none of that.
No, little different. Little different. Yeah. I'm going back to my Northeast roots to play my walk-up song.
I like everything about that.
That's hey, congratulations. Great to see you. Great to have you back in the ACC. It really is.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you having me, guys. I look forward to spending a lot of time together. And thanks for everything you guys do for the ACC. You guys are continuing to build this brand for us across the country. And, you know, we couldn't be more happy.
All right.
Best of luck.
Mike Elko, the new head football coach at Duke, with us here on Packer and Durham press conference with Nina King and others. Dr. Price, I'm sure, the president of the university, coming up at 11 o'clock. Right here on ACC Network.
And we will be more than happy to introduce all that for everyone.
Yeah, we'll share that with everybody and be happy to do it. When we come back, more to go on this Monday edition of Packer and Durham. We got a lot going on, don't we? Basketball weekend, and Packer has got a trinket from his journey to New York City that is phenomenal. Show it to you next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hey, Coach Elko just talked about the premium that signing day will play in his first year of the Blue Devils. Well, it's a premium here at ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. Coverage of signing day, Mark, starts at 7 a.m. with the Packer and Durham program.
Well, we are the recruiting experts. There's no doubt about that.
And then it's 6. The huddle. A little more in-depth and detailed, I'm going to guess, with Tom Luganville and others.
They'll probably copy off our papers, but that's fine.
Yeah, okay. 6 o'clock, Jordan Cornette and the crowd gather around. They'll break down all the schools, all the new signees, if you will, to the letters of intent. Coming up at 6 o'clock on Wednesday night, right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app.
It really is one of my favorite days on radio, is that day.
How so?
Because fans call in.
And lose their mind.
And they lose it. They're like, oh, my God, hey, Pac, how they got us ranked 23rd in recruiting? We got this 3-star from this 4-star. I'm like, hey, dude.
Stinking Jeff from Texas call?
Well, I don't know. Stinking Jeff from Texas.
He's got to be excited about whatever Ewers or whatever the kid is going there.
Guy made 7 figures, never took a snap. Pretty good deal. It's America, isn't it? God bless America. You know, I don't know. I'm going to say it all the time. I only worry about it until you get on campus and we find out who wants to compete, who wants to get coached, who wants to get better. Doesn't matter if you're a walk-on, 5-star, whatever. You know? But I love the day. On radio, I love that day because people lose it. I can't believe Joey Jones flip-flopped to school, roast beef A&M. Man, how in the world did they pull that off? They must be buying somebody. I don't know.
I'm telling you. My old friend Paul Johnson used to say, they all come highly recommended.
Of course. I still wait for the day.
The coach takes the podium.
That a coach takes the podium and there's 1,000 people and they got the cameras and the mics and all that stuff.
Online.
And the guy looks you right in the eye and goes, I got to be completely honest with you. We did a lousy job. We got guys that can't run a 4.220. Every coach is going to say exactly the same. And I'll hear Nick Saban for the 93rd consecutive year say the same thing, which is so spot on. well, we think we did okay, but we'll ask me in 2 years. I'll tell you if this guy can play or not.
I mean,
it's just the way it is. But people love National Signing Day. They just lose
love it.
Lose their minds.
Yeah, right.
So we look forward. We look forward to breaking it down for you. 7 a.m. Wednesday, right here, ACC News.
All right, I want you to show this trinket because, first of all, I will say this. I'm envious of all the Army-Navy games you've seen because I've never been to one, and I've tried to go. God bless him and rest his soul. The late Kim King, who I did games with at Georgia Tech, who was a quarterback at Georgia Tech in the 60s, we always talked about the weekend after trying to go to the Army-Navy game. It just never materialized. And, of course, Kim passed away in 2004. Great man. But he's the one that instilled the Army-Navy thing into me. And you've been able to go and be such a spectacular experience.
It's my favorite.
Every time, right?
It is my favorite. The flyovers are incredible. The march on, spectacular.
Right.
The tradition at the end of the game is the best in college football. The singing of the alma maters, and you always want to sing second. If you follow me on Twitter, by the way, I filmed it, taped it, whatever, on the phone, and I put it on. I forgot I did it, and then coming back on the plane yesterday, I realized I forgot to put the video on the Twitter account at Mark Packer, and I put it on there yesterday afternoon, and this morning there were 207,000 views. 207,000 views.
Of your video?
Of my video. So if you go to at Mark Packer, you can see what I'm talking about.
It's
I have no skin in the game at all, but it's emotional to watch it because there's 82,000 people in the stands. Nobody leaves. You can hear a pin drop when those two teams, after battling it for 60 minutes, go to one corner to sing the first alma mater, and man, then the party starts for the second one. But man, it's just, it's stunning.
You're up to 232,000 views.
That's crazy.
Social media king.
It's me. So I am the king of social media. There is no doubt. But just put it on there afternoon. And so it's really awesome. But nevertheless, one of the things that you do, at least the USAA, they do it, like I said, they present the game. They do a great job.
Yeah.
And for us morons in the media that go up there to do this, for SiriusXM and others, they give you a challenge coin, which is what every officer gets, and you carry it around with you, et cetera.
Right.
So they give it to the media, and so this is it. Now, we'll give you a better shot up close because the guys, I think, there it is. That is it, and it's made. This is, again, the 20-year anniversary of 9/11. That's why the game was held at MetLife Stadium up in New York, technically New Jersey. But this coin was made melted down steel from the World Trade Center, and it's heavy. I mean, it really is. And so this is the one they gave everybody, and I collect them. I mean, every time you go and you get one, and again, I told you the story about Ray Mabus, the Secretary of the Navy,
right,
and you slam the challenge coin down and how that deal works. So it's just one of many really cool nuances of the Army-Navy weekend and that experience. It's very cool. There's not another college football game like it. So I always say at the end of the year, it's a standalone game, and to me, it's kind of the cleansing of your college football soul. We go through all the craziness, transfers, coaches, injuries, highs, lows, wins, losses. He stinks, fire him, hire him. You go through all of that, then you get to this game. And there really is a purity to it. I mean, it's kind of like what we don't have anymore in some respects. This is not about the transfer portal. It's not about name, image, and likeness. It's not about, hey, winner this game gets to the college football playoff. Got nothing to do with it.
Right.
And the men and women that come in on the march on, and you stand on the field and you see how young they are, and you go, oh, my God, these are the people. This is the best of the best representing us, keeping us safe, making this the greatest country in the world. Like I said, there's nothing like this game.
There's also, like, at least as somebody who watches it and tries to see some of it on a regular basis each year, there's always this part about the way it looks. Okay, there's this. There's also the fact that the game feels just like it did when you see the black and white videos of years ago, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing to me. The game has, you have the march on, you have the cadets, you have the mids, you have the march on, you have the, call it what you want. If you want to say the option offense is throwback, fine. It's a throwback spread offense, and you get that look, and it's the same look you see in the 60s or the same look you see with Doc Blanchard and Glenn Davis or whatever the case may be. And you're right. It is kind of the cleansing of your college football soul every year.
It's what it is.
Yeah.
It's what it is.
Yeah.
It's just it's hard to describe. And for folks that go for the first time and listen to this show or the radio show, we'll call and go, Pac, you're so right. It is unlike.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the other thing that's cool, because you know I like toys, right? That's why going to the Intrepid on the boat when we did the radio show.
Is that good
Monday
for you?
On Friday. Oh, my God. I could have spent the weekend there. And you pull up when the car dropped me off, and I got out. And I got my bags. I got stuff all over the place. And I got out and looked at the Intrepid. I'm like, oh, my God. Well, there's a F-15. There's a space shuttle. They're on the deck. And you're like, oh, my God.
A space shuttle?
Yeah. It's on the deck. And you're like, oh, my God, look at all the toys. And then you go to the MetLife Stadium.
How they put a space shuttle on the deck?
They fly it around on there. I don't know how they do it. But you go to MetLife Stadium, and you got tanks.
Oh, yeah.
You got all the vehicles that the guys or servicemen are driving around in. You're like, man, I'd love to buy one of those. You can't buy it because it's made for the Army or the Navy or whatever. And they're driving around in vehicles. You're like, oh, the coolest looking stuff ever.
Yeah.
I just like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I think the folks, by the way, Game Day did a tremendous job. They always do when they go to the Army-Navy game. And I'm glad they do it. They get out there, and they're right there where the march on gathers and everything. And you got, you know, the cadets and the mids are all excited, and it's great.
I would highly suggest to anybody that loves college football, loves sports, if you can, it doesn't matter where the venue is. New York was kind of a special deal with the 20-year anniversary.
Sure.
It's normally in Philadelphia. We've done the game in Baltimore before, and Baltimore does a great job too.
Yeah.
Man, go. If you got a chance to do it, just go once, and you'll understand it.
Yep.
You'll understand. It'll hit you like a ton of bricks. It's amazing.
We get ready for the Power Hour. Serena Gray, who plays for Pitt's volleyball team that's headed to the Final Four in Columbus later this week, she'll join us coming up about 9:30. But when we come back, we got some volleyball news, we got some football hires, we got some basketball recap, and we got a natty. Clemson captures the men's soccer national championship yesterday outside of Raleigh. We'll focus on that and more too. Packer and Durham's third hour on this Monday continues.
Packer and Durham.